wolves that come to be. And people gather around. They have all they can bring. Nobody win with that. Only little song to sing. The revolution starts now.
This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio, and we're the music show on Sunday night. And this week, our guest is Dar Williams. How are you?
Very good, thanks.
The last time I saw you was during the New Yorker Festival. We bumped into each other in a party that was so crowded that I sort of just waved at people as they went by. It took an hour and a half to get up the elevator.
Totally. I remember it was awful, actually, because there was nobody there to introduce people and say, you know, so-and-so writes this article. Since it's all authors, I only recognized you.
Yeah, it was strange because I think I was there... it was me and Danny Goldberg and Rosemary Carroll, who, you know, I work with both Danny and Rosemary. Danny runs their American Radio.
I know.
And
it's great.
Rosemary's been my attorney for years and years. At the time, Danny, you know, on the record label I was recording for, it was us and Chrissy Hynde. And we went up, and we waited a long time to get up the elevator. And by the time we got up, it was so crowded that we went right back down again. It was a lot shorter line going down than it was going up. This is about people bringing in songs, they want to play on the radio. And you've got this, I was asking you, which we're arguing about how to pronounce the bells of, Bill says Rumney.
Yeah.
It's like I've always said.
No relation.
You know, it's one of the, it's it last and this is the Birds version, which is this was Birds week for me. I ran into Chris Hillman and David Crosby 5 days apart at two different gigs in Europe last week.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Wow.
Big huge fan. You know, of this band and and Bob Dylan. So this is the Birds on Air America Radio.
Oh, what will you give me? Say the sad bells of Rimley. Is there hope for the future? Say the brown bells of Merthyr. Who made the night over? Say the black bells of Rimley. Kill the miner, say the grim bells of life. Through the battles in war, say the bells of beautiful. All will be well if. Say the three bells of Carthage. Why so worry, sisters, why? Say the silver bells of wine. And what will you give me? Say the sad bells of Rimley. Thank you.
The Birds on Air America Radio, and that is a Pete Seeger song, not a Bob Dylan song. That was brain damage. I know that.
Could have been either one. No, I was thrown. I wasn't sure.
I think about, you know, that period of time in music. You know, the Birds were, you know, the folk boom was going on, but, you know, we probably wouldn't, you know, know about, you know, Pete Seeger the way that we do, because Pete Seeger had been effectively blacklisted for a long time, and then, you know, the Birds had, you know, obviously a really, really big hit on a Pete Seeger song, like, on Turn, 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 and you know, there was a, do you remember, there was a show called Hootenanny, mm-hmm. which was, you know, folk music had become big business, and everybody, I've had some of the people that were involved in the boycott on this show, but there was actually an effective boycott. Bob Dylan, Joan Baez never played that show. They were, you know, obviously they tried their best to book them, but as long as the television networks wouldn't book Pete Seeger, then, you know, a lot of the folk community, especially here in New York, boycotted, you know, network television until Pete was reinstated and could actually play himself.
Right. And in the meantime, he was reinventing himself by, you know, I grew up in the suburbs of New York, and he was doing the Clearwater Revival Festival, which apparently was really just kind of a big picnic for about 10 years. But, you know, he basically said, okay, I will take a side road, and if I'm not in the mainstream, I'll just save the Hudson River, you know, like, which is so much of what folk music does. You know, it just finds the tributaries. If they can't be in the mainstream, they just kind of go off.
He also played, you know, he did the children's camp gigs, which that had to have, I think, you know, some of the a lot of people that we really need right now, you know, were probably influenced by that.
People
that are listening to Air America Radio now.
No, it was all about the music. I mean, the reason I chose these songs was because there's all, you know, growing up in New York, you know, when people talk about folk music being protest music, political music, it was like these guys were defining a whole landscape. It was literature, it was culture, and they were willing to do it non-commercially or commercially, and they were playing it at camps or out, you know, at rallies where people needed them. So it was
wherever there was an audience.
Right, and people really, I think, were inspired by that populist thing as well as the music itself.
Yeah, and Paul Simon, I think, is a really good example of, you know, that relationship between pop music.
Right.
And
folk
stuff
music that
at the
really
time.
Meant a lot. And this next thing is him. This is Benedictus, and he's a Jewish guy from Queens or Brooklyn, I'm not sure, but, you know, him.
Yeah, learned to write songs in the Brill Building, one of the last guys that can say that.
So I chose this next song because he's, you know, here he was basically sort of, again, staking out this landscape of being interested in all this kind of different stuff and seeing a really Christian thing, Benedictus, you know, because not out of his politics, except the politics of a populist view of, like, this is a city of all of these religions and backgrounds sort of living side by side. And I loved that, the fact that he just dove in and sampled this thing.
This is Simon and Garfunkel on Air America Radio.
Thank you.
Simon and Garfunkel on Air America Radio. This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now. This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio. Our guest this week is Dar Williams. The cool thing about this show is, you know, people bring in, you know, music that they want to play. And, you know, people have different ideas about, some people panic about trying to put together a list. They think that they're being asked to put together a desert island list or something. And if you do this for a living, you get sick of that by the time you release your second record, by about the time the 14th magazine asks you to do it.
Yeah, I keep changing it too. I would make me feel really bad, you know, that I keep, you know, that should be set in stone, but I keep on forgetting what I put down. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, no, it shouldn't be set in stone, I don't think. I think, you know, we there are other radio stations, they might call that flip-flopping. Here we call it changing your mind.
And keeping it open, obviously, yeah.
Absolutely. And this, if I'm not mistaken, Patriot Game may have been played here in another version before. I'm trying to remember. Maybe we talked about it in this version. The version that you brought in is Judy Collins.
Right.
Who has been a guest here on the show, which is one of my favorite shows that we've ever done.
I love her. I love her personally. And yeah, no, I actually chose this song because I thought this is the kind of song you could have written, Steve. It's got a lot of breadth to it, and it looks at all the sides, and it has this really strong narrative. And so I thought, you know, this is kind of, and it's political and also epic at the same time. And I thought, oh, Steve Earle could have written this.
It's funny because this song, actually, I think the original version of this that most people know is by the Clancy Brothers and Tommy Makem. And Tommy Makem recorded it as a solo artist as well, the Dubliners, mm-hmm. and which is, you know, Luke Kelly's band. We were trying to figure out who wrote it earlier. And it's a songwriter from Ireland called Dominic Behan. And you know, it's a really, really, really great song, and this is a Patriot Game, Judy Collins on Air America Radio.
Patriots game. six counties are under John Bull's tyranny, and most of our leaders are greatly to blame for shirking their part in the Patriots' game. They told of how Connolly was shot in his chair. The wounds from his battle are bleeding and bare. His fine body twisted, all battered and lame. And they soon made me...
Judy Collins on Air America Radio. This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio.
And now I am dying, my body all holds. I think of those traitors who bargained and sold. I'm sorry my rival has not done the same to the traitors who sold.
This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio. Our guest this week is Dar Williams. Paul Simon, you know, is coming up twice now, and he does, because he's been around as long as I've been doing this. He's one of the reasons I started doing this.
Hmm.
I mean, the Simon & Garfunkel records, and the first solo record came out when I was in high school, and I think I probably learned to play every single song on it as best I could.
Okay.
Pretty good guitar player. But Graceland is such a great record, and I mean I almost ran off the road. I had the records, you know, sitting around my house. Somebody, you know, we get advanced copies sometimes, and when you're in the show business, and I just carried it around, and I was driving down to Mississippi, so I was literally, you know, riding through the landscape that the song Graceland itself is set in when I heard it for the first time. I was driving from Memphis down into Mississippi. But when this song came up, I almost ran off the road, which is the boy. Well, I think it's a great record, but I think this is the best song on a really great
it's
record.
Way out there, and it's also a wonderful, I mean, it is a sort of a, it is literature, and it is kind of a Where Are We Now song, you know, the loose affiliation of millionaires and billionaires, you know, how he sort of casually locates us into the future that we have arrived into, you know, it's without panic, you know, it's like a Kurt Vonnegut book or something.
Right.
So that's what I loved about how he could turn, you know, he could bring that into music. But yes, I agree with you. I think that I love the whole album. But this song, you know, that opens the album, I think everybody just, their jaws dropped, and they said, where has he arrived? I mean,
right.
It's a whole new level.
Absolutely.
From somebody that we already love.
Yeah, and he was criticized for going to South Africa to record,
trying to back up. I mean, I've heard many stories, you know, I heard that he did it as a way to expose people to these things, to help kind of bring a cultural connection.
Well, I think that's what happened. I think, you know, I think we saw a lot of South African artists for the first time because of this one record, because of that tour, and certainly Ladysmith Black Mambazo we would have never heard of if it hadn't been for this record, and it made a lot of people aware of what was going on in South Africa at a critical point in
history. And one can argue, you know, hopefully I know I heard Paul Simon being, you know, both attacked and very defensive, and I thought, ugh, what would I do in that position, because I've certainly done things that I didn't even realize the controversy coming up, but hopefully, you know, when you connect with the people who make the music as opposed to the politics, you know, there was a politics of apartheid, but then there was hearing these people and seeing plays and hearing music from Africa and really connecting with the people and wanting to build those bridges, you know, the spiritual bridges that are really strong. And I think that he wanted to do that as well as just loving the music itself.
I think he did in the song. This is Paul Simon on Air America Radio.
And the sun was beating on the soldiers by the side of the road. There was a bright light, a shattering of shop windows. The bomb in the baby carriage was wired to the radio. These are the days of miracle and wonder. This is the long distance call. The way the camera follows us in slow-mo. The way we look to us all. The way we look to a distant constellation that's dying in a corner of the sky. These are the days of miracle and wonder. And don't cry, baby, don't cry, don't cry. It was a dry wind, and it swept across the desert and curled into the circle of blue. And the dead sand falling on the children, the mothers and the fathers and the automatic earth. These are the days of miracle and wonder. This is the long distance call. The way the camera follows us in slow-mo. The way we look to us all. Oh yeah. The way we look to a distant constellation that's dying in a corner of the sky. These are the days of miracle and wonder. And don't cry, baby, don't cry, don't cry. It's a turnaround jump shot, it's everybody jump start. It's every generation throws a hero up the pop charts. Medicine is magical and magical is art. Think of the boy in the bubble and the baby with the babbling heart. And I believe these are days, lasers in the jungle, lasers in the jungle somewhere. Staccato signals of constant information, a loose affiliation of millionaires and billionaires and baby. These are the days of miracle and wonder. This is a long distance call. The way the camera follows us in slow-mo. The way we look to us all, oh yeah. The way we look to a distant constellation that's dying in the corner of the sky. These are the days of miracle and wonder. And don't cry, baby, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry.
Paul Simon on Air America Radio and The Boy in the Bubble. I love that track so much. I love that song. So I just, when I was playing, it had almost the same effect on me the first time, which made me, initially it makes me want to quit.
Right, me too.
You know, and then it makes me want to try a little bit harder and get better.
Hit me too.
This job that we do, you know, writing songs for, or writing anything, it's, you know, it's hard, sort of hard to, you know, people ask me, why I do what I do, you know, especially I've been a lot of talk lately about why I would write political songs. And for me, it's just, I learned to write songs a certain way, and I'll still probably, you know, write more songs about girls before it's all over with when they tally it all up. But But I mean, I came up in coffee houses and I came up in the late 60s and early 70s and was just taught that you write about whatever's going on around you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, which is maybe a little harder work sometimes, what's going on inside of you.
Yeah, I think, well, at the same time, I mean, you know, it's like you're a canary in a coal mine, as you mentioned that term before. Like, you go out and you feel what's going on the street. You know, you feel what's going on in the world. And you know, I think there's political music where you just kind of describe it and it doesn't really hit people at a new angle. But when you're an artist like you, I mean, I think your music is a great example. There's a real landscape to it. It's commenting on something bigger than the sound bite. And I think we need music that creates the landscape around the political moment. So, you know, really, you know, music is like where you are when you hear it. It's where that artist was when that artist wrote it. It's the event that they're writing about, but it's all this context, you know, whether you're writing about girls or whether, what I usually do is I find myself writing about girls, about boys, you know, and about politics and always finding this total stream. You know, when I feel betrayed by an ex, there's something always going on in the news that I pull into a song that kind of creates like some connection. Between, yeah, I did a song with a connection between the nuclear family and the nuclear you know, movement of creating bombs and how it creates so much secrecy within these insulated nuclear families. Like, there's always this interplay that I find in a lot of contemporary political music and very much yours. So I don't even call it political music.
Yeah, I think writing songs that are really intensely personal, you know, is the same thing as writing songs that are about things that are going on in the world, the things that you're afraid of.
I think so.
The things that you know that you're proud of, and you know, I think love songs and songs that are written about things that happen to us in our lives. You know, I think it's really the same dynamic. This Suzanne Vega song.
This is a song that I had in my head. I have to tell you, this song was I had an AIDS test and an HIV test, and then I went to hear the results, and I couldn't get this song out of my mind. It's called "Blood Makes Noise" because I heard the blood in my ears, and I thought, and then I heard that she also wrote this song when she was waiting to get the results of her HIV test. I don't know if that's true, but again, a very contemporary. You can call it a political song, you can call it a political moment, or a personal thing.
On Air America Radio. This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America.
Right. Yeah.
This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio. Our guest this week is Dar Williams, and you have a new record coming out.
I do. It's called My Better Self. It's based on a line that says, you help me find my way, find my better self. So it's a quest, not a statement.
I always have a state of me song. It's mm-hmm. weird. I have this weird process in making records where, okay, there's the song that sort of was the reason I made the whole record in the first place. And right. sometimes it's the title track, sometimes it's not. But it's what got me into the studio and got me working. And then I start filling in certain blanks. And sometimes, you know, it's probably a formula I need to break out of at some point. But there's always, it began with Guitar Town and that opening track. And then on the next record, you know, was I Ain't Ever Satisfied. And, you know, there started being a song that was about, I write about a lot of different things. And I started needing a song to be there that was about me and mm-hmm. just sort of me taking a reading on me.
That totally makes sense
on every record. Uh-huh. Yeah. I think it gives an audience a reference point.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Because, you know, we have weird fans.
Right.
we really do. That's
yeah, well, we're weird too. So,
yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
I think it's good to have things that ground the album a little bit for us and hopefully the listeners out there. And I have the same, I can relate to that.
Yeah, the track that we're going to play, though.
This one, I would not say is the most defining of the album, although it was just made, and it wasn't done to show off for anybody. It was done out of a pure sort of, you know, putting my finger to the wind and feeling this political climate and responding to it in all of its meanness and condescension, and looking back through history at what it was reminding me of. It's called Empire.
Who's afraid of the sun? Who would question the goodness of the mighty? We who banish the threat. When your little ones all go nighty-nighty, well, there's no time for doubt right now and less time to explain. So get back on your horses, kiss my ring, join our next campaign, and the empire grows with the news that we're winning, with more fear to conquer and more gold thread for spinning, bright as the sun shining on. That we forced our words, and we find that ingenuously churlish, words are just words. Don't be so pessimistic, weak and girlish. We like strong, happy people who don't think there's something wrong with pride. Work makes them free, and we spread that freedom far and wide, and the empire grows. The seeds of its glory for every five tanks plant a sentimental story till they worship the sun, even Christ loving ones. And we'll kill the terrorizers and a million of the races, but when our people torture you, that's a few random cases. Don't question the sun, it doesn't help anyone. But the journalist cried out when it was too late to stop us. Everyone had awakened to the dream they could enter our colossus. And now I'm right, yeah, you said I'm right. There's nothing that can harm me, 'cause the sun never sets on my dungeons or my army. And the empire fell on its own splintered axis, and the emperor wanes as the silver moon waxes, and the farmers will find all coins in their strawberry fields, while somebody somewhere twists a ring and someone kneels. Shining for everyone. Oh, where is the sun? Shining for everyone.
Dar Williams on Air America Radio, and our guest this week is Dar Williams, and so it's new record coming out. That means coffee breaks over, everyone back on their heads. You touring?
That's right. Yeah, I have a big tour coming up in the fall.
Do you like to tour?
Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's good for me. I always, once I'm out there, it's just like I'm a different person at home than I am on the road. It's a different way of surviving.
I'm kind of addicted to it myself. I mean, it's one of those things, I hate to admit it, but my life simplifies when I get on the road because I know what I'm out there for. I'm just there
That's
to
true.
Get on stage every night. This has been a guest. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Our guest this week's been Dar Williams. This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio.